This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. The just-completed old year was not a good year in Michigan's big cities, not when it came to murder. 2012 crime reports are in. Detroit, Grand Rapids, Lansing, and Flint all broke or tied their homicide records. Here to take a closer look at murder levels, homicide levels in Detroit, is Dr. Greg Barrick. He's a professor of criminology and criminal justice at Eastern Michigan University, and the mayor of Flint, Dane Walling. Welcome to you both.
Thank you very much.
Greg, I want to start with you. The nationwide murder rate has significantly declined over the past couple of decades. So why are so many of Michigan's major cities running in a different direction?
Well, if I could begin by putting it in perspective, homicide rates across the country are down to about 4.8 per 100,000. In the Midwest, it's even lower at 4.5. Here in Michigan, the state as a whole is at 6.2. If you went to Detroit, it's 8 times higher than that at a range of about 53. Now, having said all of that, Detroit and Michigan has been fairly stable or constant in their rates over the last decade or so, and significantly down from 8 or 9 as a mean or an average in the 1990s. But I didn't answer your question, which was what accounts for higher rates. I'm not all that surprised in terms of Detroit. Its rate today is no higher than it was when we were identified as the murder capital of the world. Mm-hmm. And for 20 or 25 years, both Flint and Detroit have competed for that dubious honor, you might say. Now you're dealing with a city in crisis. You're down to a population less than half of what it was. You have a concentration of what we could call increasing immiseration or poverty. You have people who are feeling trapped. Mm-hmm. Is that enough of an answer?
It's quite a prescription. Mayor Walling, Flint saw 66 homicides last year, and that appears to have matched the record number of killings in 2010. So I'm wondering, what kind of conversations have resulted in Flint City Hall from this?
Well, there's been great concern all across the community. I would add to what the professor shared around the situation with Detroit and Flint and population decline and socioeconomic factors. One of the things that we see is that almost all of our homicides involve guns. They involve firearms, illegal guns. And when you take a look at what's happening with the rate of gun violence, not only those instances that result in homicides, but shooting victims across the country, not just in Michigan. There are many, many more. I think estimates have shown approximately 50% more shooting victims or gun violence victims than there would have been 10 or more years ago. So there's a prevalence of deadly weapons. There's a prevalence of violence. And that's, in my view, adding to the difficulties around the traditional socioeconomic challenges.
Let's look at Flint, since we have you, Mayor Walling. We're not talking about the entire city, are we? We're really looking at hot spots within your city, aren't we?
There are a number of neighborhoods that are being affected by gun violence and the homicides. You can point to those on the map, but I can tell you that if you take a broader view and you look at the number of incidents that have taken place over the last 4 to 5 years, and we're working with the FBI and the Safe Streets Task Force, of course, the Michigan State Police that has a strong presence here, disturbing challenge is that the number of violent criminal incidents are taking place in a large number of the city's neighborhoods. So it is a challenge that we consider to be a citywide challenge. There's certainly neighborhoods that are safer. There's neighborhoods that regularly experience gunfire, on the other hand. The way I think about it as a regional or statewide problem is not so much that the prevalence of violence is on every street, but that our policies and our decisions that are affecting these matters are being made, in many cases, outside of city government control. So when the state of Michigan decides to make changes to their revenue sharing formulas of the sales tax dollars that have traditionally funded police and fire departments and uses that for other purposes, then you see across the board in Michigan, I believe we're down 16% fewer total police personnel than we had 10 years ago. So those are the statewide dimensions of this challenge as I see it.
We actually talked last week to the executive director of the Michigan Association of Chiefs of Police, very, very concerned too about the contracture and the shrinking of police departments all over the state. So, Greg, what do you see? What kind of conversation needs to happen on a statewide level about that very problem?
I'm not sure, you know, how Lansing is responding to that, nor the governor. I mean, again, if I look at it as, you know, more of a citywide problem or cities-wide problem, given, you know, the economic situation that we are in a slow recovery, I would even talk in terms of federal assistance to buttress law enforcement, which I know is not probably a popular idea, but I think in the way that you bail out GM or you bail out Wall Street, you could help to bail out Flint and Detroit as well.
And I sense, Mayor Welling, that would be a welcome development if it could ever happen.
Well, it sure would. And for us, we had the pleasure of actually hosting Vice President Biden in the fall of 2011. And part of the proposed American Jobs Act was a few billion dollars in new spending for the federal COPS program that does provide matching resources for local law enforcement officers, as well as the SAFER grant, which does the same for fire departments. And in light of the massacre in Connecticut more than a month ago, we've had a number of mayors have been talking about the federal government needing to reinstate the COPS in schools program, which was eliminated and provided those matching dollars for us to put officers in a proactive manner into our schools and build relationships with youth so that officers aren't showing up after crimes have been committed, but we're dedicating some resources to addressing those challenges on the front end.
If you're just joining us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, and we're exploring the 2012 murder statistics for the big cities in the state of Michigan, talking with Dr. Greg Barrick, who's a professor of criminology and criminal justice at Eastern Michigan University, and also the mayor of the city of Flint, Mayor Dane Walling. Flint having seen 66 homicides last year, which matched the record number of killings in 2010. Mayor Walling, as you alluded to a few moments ago, you're part of this coalition called Mayors Against Illegal Guns. And certainly after the Sandy Hook massacre in Connecticut, your group has been pressuring President Obama to get moving on gun control reforms. And the report from Vice President Biden is due today. What do you want to hear?
Well, I support the key federal reforms that I believe will make every community in the country more safe. We need a universal background check. We need to ban the military-style assault weapons. And we need a specific federal law to address gun trafficking, which is, you know, guns moving back and forth across different states. In addition to that, as I mentioned, we're promoting the COPS in Schools program and hoping that the president will make a renewed commitment to try to get some funding for that program. Mayor Bernero and I in Lansing were talking about that yesterday and see the real need for that. There's also mental health and other social service dimensions to this that need to be addressed as part of a comprehensive solution. But that universal background check is absolutely the top priority. Law enforcement needs to know which guns are being bought and sold and where they're at in the community in order to be effective and doing their job. And I think all law-abiding citizens should be able to support that.
Greg, as a professor of criminology and criminal justice, this is certainly key to what you teach and what you know. How much do you believe these kinds of reforms will make a difference in homicide rates in Michigan? Will they keep criminals from getting guns?
Well, a certain number of homicides are going to occur, if you call those, you know, not crime related, just sort of emotion or passion related. If you're talking about a culture of gun violence, if you're talking about gang violence, and if you're talking about where these rates are at the highest, they're involving youth between the ages of about 16 and 26. So you really need a full frontal assault on youth development from early on, youth diversion. You need programs of intervention, and clearly you need some alternative to the gang life.
Are the gangs being weakened? Is the gang problem less today in 2013, can I ask you both, than it was, let's say, in the 1990s, or even going back to the 70s, when Detroit on the east side was living in fear of the Coneonies and the BKs? So are we at a better position with gangs? Have we managed to make a dent?
In Flint, which is on this case all I can speak to, I don't have the research on other communities. What we face is a widespread, more decentralized series of neighborhood or informal gangs. There's at any given time there may be only one or two larger scale criminal enterprise gangs that we would have under active investigation as we work towards arrest and prosecution. And the U.S. Attorney's been actually a great partner in that for us. So our problem is much more widespread and dispersed, and gets to the point that Professor Barrick made about youth development and engaging youth and providing alternatives to the gang life. Some of that is with employment. Some of it is more social and recreational. That's where we see the real need and the opportunity to intervene.
Mayor Welling, you've grown up in Flint, so you really have tremendous perspective. Talk to us about your thoughts. How has crime in your city changed over your lifetime?
Well, it has become more widespread and more violent. It's certainly true that in the 1980s, with the major economic dislocations, when I was coming of age, we had our previous homicide records, but the city's population has dropped substantially since that time. So when we're looking at simply statistics year by year, and we're matching account and exceeding account in the 2011-2012 that we had previously 30 years ago with a larger population, it's become more prevalent and much more violent. The number of drive-by shootings, the number of incidents with gun violence is substantially up from where it would have been 20 or 30 years ago. Fortunately, is taking place is the great advances in medicine, and what's happening in our emergency rooms is frankly saving dozens of lives every year that otherwise would be being lost to gun violence.
That last point is very true. Medicine has reduced those rates, and that's hard to factor in. But if one does, then what the mayor is saying, that the violence, is at least constant. I mean, I go back over the long haul and I look at the national homicide rates for a moment, and they really have never been lower than 4. Unless you go back to the 19th century. So if we're at a 4.8 right now, and we were at 9 and 10 through the 80s and up to 91 or 92, I still see it as less, but I see it as beginning to expand again.
Why do you think it is, saying what you're saying, that we have less violence than, let's say, in the 1990s or the 1980s, so progress is being made, although you're worried about it going up again. But why do you think the violence feels just as intense today?
I mean, if I look at Detroit, they had 750 homicides if I go back 20 years ago. Clearly, the population has dwindled, but they have half that number today.
So the concentration,
But the rate is the same. Yeah. But your chances of being murdered in Detroit or Flint are about 8 times higher than other places where you would live in this state.
And that feels intense. And your thoughts, Mayor?
I think what the professor said is right, that there's a certain intensity, there's a media coverage. No one lives in the world of statistics. They live in their neighborhood. They watch the news. They're talking with their friends and family, and there's a sense that at any point and at any time, in light of the recent mass killings, you could be at risk, and some of that, I believe, does have to do with the widespread availability of powerful assault weapons. And it was noted earlier about that gun industry. They're, in my view, unfortunately, looking for new markets and new consumers for their products, and that may make one individual person feel more safe, but there's a collective negative result of that marketing and availability of such high-powered weapons.
Professor, I'm curious, as you hear conversations within cities and within the state of Michigan and even nationally, what are some of the biggest misconceptions that you hear in these conversations about our crime and about our murder rates?
Probably the number one misconception is that violent crime in general is still going up or rising, when nationally and even here in Michigan, with the exception of this homicide that we're talking about, those rates are going down. So that would be probably what I hear.
Your thoughts, Mayor?
You know, I think that one of the challenges is this very difficult to understand bundle of issues around what drives crime, be it in a neighborhood or in a city. And, you know, you've heard me talk about levels of staffing and gun violence. We've talked about youth. There's all kinds of competing research out there. An article circulating, I think it was in the Atlantic, about the role of lead and lead poisoning and how that's affecting children's development in certain areas and creating a greater likelihood of committing a violent crime. So it's very difficult to have a comprehensive discussion, because there's so many different perspectives about what really is driving the cause. I talk a lot about jobs as a mayor, and I have a belief that if more of our young people had a positive economic opportunity, that fewer of them may be involved in gangs. I don't know what a researcher would say about that who looks at, you know, a couple hundred cities across the country to say if that's really true or not. It's definitely something I hear from residents, but that combination of what the research will tell you, what you're hearing from residents and citizens, they often don't reconcile.
And we'll have to leave it there for now, but we really want to thank both of you for joining us today. Dane Walling is the mayor of the city of Flint, and Dr. Greg Barrick is the professor of criminology and criminal justice at Eastern Michigan University. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.